Kind of caught up. I'm on the same page. There you go.
That's right, Kevin. Let me make sure I got this. I'm not good at multitasking. I didn't do the handouts. I got this. Okay, last week. Okay, yeah, let me explain what I did. You can pass these out. Last week, you know, I was bragging how I only had one page. So this week, I killed some trees this week. So, is this the right one?
Updated.
Yes. Okay. This is today's. I did bring last week's handout with all the filled-in blanks because you know I'm the world's worst.
Yeah.
That I put blanks on my handout, but then when I'm going through my thing, I forget and I don't tell you guys like what to fill in. So if anyone wants, I know Chuck wanted one.
Can I have one?
Yeah. This was last week with answers. It's got the answers on it, man. You don't have to do nothing. That's it there, so I'll just put them there every once in a while. All right, so we've been talking about spiritual gifts. I better get my mic on. All right, December is the gift-giving month, so this is very apropos that we're talking about what God, you know, we all buy gifts for each other, but we're talking about what gifts God has given us. And I kind of introduced it last week with, you know, a lot of us in here have been through D1. Most of us have, I hope. One of the lessons in D1 is God's will for your life and then God's plan for your life. There's two. And just a refresher, the will is the same for all of us. It's that we all become conformed to the image of Christ. We're all to once we accept Christ as our Savior, we're all to start reading the Word, praying, building a relationship with Him, be conformed to His image, and become Christian, which just means little Christ. It's the same for all of us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us do that, which is one of the gifts that we get. Number two is the plan for God. Plan for your life. God has a different plan for each one of us. My plan is not the same as Pastor Steve or Chuck or Dave or anyone in here. We're all different. And to help you fulfill that plan, God has given you unique gifts that are suited for you, personality, abilities, things like that. And they're gifts for you to help others so we can all build ourselves up in the kingdom. So those are the two types of gifts that we talked about last week. And that's kind of how this study is going. So just got a review, quick review. This is what we went over last week. We talked about what are these spiritual gifts? Was I given a gift? You know, spoiler alert, yes. How do I get this gift? You know, do I handle some rattlesnakes or do something else weird? So we talked about that. We'll touch on it this week too. What gifts are available? This is a big question. We don't really know what's even out there. If you don't know what's out there, you don't know what you may or may not have. So we talked about that. And how do I know what my gift is? Did anyone do the homework that I gave? Okay, good. This is going to be fun. I was hoping a lot of people would. You did?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I know Steve did. Okay, good. Good deal. So we'll get to that in a second. It's on your handouts from last week. Actually, I think it's on this week's too.
Oh, that thing.
There's a site you can go to. I mean, this is a man-made site, but it's really good. It gives you all these questions, and you answer them honestly, and the results are pretty accurate. Did you find your results pretty accurate?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Me too. Mine are like too accurate sometimes. So anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. So that's how we can help. It's a tool to help us know what our spiritual gift is. And then lastly, once you know what your gift is, what's God expect you to do with it? And that's kind of the goals for this series. And it's really to improve our relationship with other people, with God, and using your gift to fulfill God's plan. And we want to grow. That's why we're here. We want to grow. Well, so, last week we covered this. That should look familiar to those here. This week, we're going to try to get through this. Next week, we'll do that. So, that's kind of our goal. Now, I don't know how far I'm going to get. There's a ton of material. This, again, is review. There's two gifts that we receive. Well, two types of gifts. We all receive the Holy Spirit when we get saved. Given to everybody in full. You got the full thing. The spiritual gifts are gifts that we have to kind of develop, that he gives us to help us, you know, fulfill our plan. What they really are, and what we've been kind of focusing on, are the motivations. He gives us all motivations for to serve other people. And we'll kind of talk about that. We talked a little more about it last week. I don't want to get too much into it. The two gifts compared.
Just some new people, so this is good.
Yeah, we got new folks. I want to catch everyone up. So these are the two types of gifts. The Holy Spirit, we all get same amount. We all get the same thing. That's for you. That is your gift. God gives to you to help you be conformed to His image and help you grow as a believer. The spiritual gifts that we're going to talk about today, it's a list of them. There's seven of them. Are gifts that He gives us to give to others, to serve others. And so in the church body, we all have the Holy Spirit for that relationship, and then we have these spiritual gifts for the horizontal relationships. You'll see the similarities. The Holy Spirit's the comforter for us. Our gifts are the comforters, teachers for others. It's really cool when you kind of lay them out.
That's very good.
All right, next one. Was I given a gift? Yes, there's the verses that talk about the gifts. It's on the handout from last week. How do I get my gift? Again, this is review. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you're given the Holy Spirit and the motivational gift to help in the church.
Hey, John, I'm going to say... I think most people have had more than one job in their life. Mm-hmm. Jobs help you kind of know what you like. Or I feel like ministry is kind of the laboratory where you kind of learn what your gifts are.
I agree.
If you minister, you know who God made you to be, I guess.
And that's true. And that's something that we'll get to later. And as you kind of experiment... And it's like exercise. You realize what you're good at and what really gives you joy and what motivates you, and that's kind of your gift. So, yeah, exactly right. All right, so what gifts are available? This is where we talked about the strange and scary gifts. You know, that's when we first open our New Testament, we're confronted with these guys. And we talked about why these are not for us today. You know, that's where the serpents, drinking Drano, healing by hanky, all that. We had a brief discussion on dispensations, covenants, and all that. But basically, these scary gifts were during the time of Christ, when the apostles were kind of setting up the kingdom, and they had a certain purpose. We're beyond that purpose now, after the book of Acts. So we're into the church age, where we are given these gifts. These are the gifts for the church age believers. And I call it Paul's list of spiritual gifts. This list should look familiar. We did go through, you know, this list here is more offices, you know, pastors, teachers, and they're not like a gift necessarily. They're a role in the church. So we don't really work with those too much. This list... And we talked about the difference between manifestation gifts and motivational gifts. I don't want to get too much deep into it. We covered it last week. But manifestation gifts are gifts that actually reside in the Holy Spirit. And they can be used in a believer as needed If I'm in the jungles of Africa and I need to talk to someone about the gospel, the Holy Spirit could give me short term this gift of tongues so I could talk to someone. Or a miracle, if healing, any of these things, a word of wisdom. And Pam has a good example of when you meet somebody that is, you just have this Holy Spirit's telling you they are evil. Stay away from that person. And I've had that, and it's a weird feeling. That is like the knowledge and wisdom that He's given you about somebody. That's just something that comes on. The Holy Spirit does it. And then it stays with Him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. We hang our hat on this list. This is the seven motivational gifts. These are the gifts that God gives us. We have different ones. They actually motivate us to do something, to serve others. They cause us to act in a certain way. Because depending on which gift you have, you act and react differently. And by understanding your own gift and the gifts of others, it can help you understand why other people do or don't do what you think they should do. They have a different gift. They have different motivation. And we're going to go through all that today. Why is that person rubbing me the wrong way? We've all got that. Why ain't they doing something? All right. There's the two lists. Again, we talked about these last week, kind of laid together, the difference in them. These don't go away. These reside in the believer. You've got them. It's up to you to grow and develop them. These do kind of come and go as needed. All right. Let's see. And then Christ had all of these. He embodied all of them fully. And we are also to have all of them. And that's kind of the key thing that we need to remember is just because, you know, if I have the gift of mercy, which I don't. But if I, well, I mean, that sight told me that. I was shocked at the ones I scored low on. But
Sherry takes up for it.
Yeah, sure. You know, you're right. And that's one reason marriages work and don't work.
Exactly.
The complementing of gifts. But I should have all of these. Now, some of them I have stronger. And you guys are the same way. You guys should have all of these gifts. Exercise them more. So, and that list, I think that was on your handout from last week. If you want to actually look at the verses. Alright, so let's look at Romans 12 is the list of motivational gifts. This is a chapter about transforming us as believers, you know, and growing in our faith. I'm not going to read that screen, but here's the list. Alright. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So we're all a member together here. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So we have different gifts, and I think we have different amounts of those gifts in a way, depending on how much we've exercised them and developed them.
That right there intrigues me, and I think you're right. That's why you're saying we need to grow.
We've got to grow. You know, one of my gifts is teaching. You know, and there was a time I didn't teach at all. I was too scared. But I just had this burden to teach. And I thought, man, what am I going to do to get over this? So I took some classes on public speaking and kind of got used to speaking in front of crowds. And I did that for a couple of years. And then, okay, now I'm ready. Lord, put me in the game. So that was kind of my story. But anyway, so we all have these different gifts according to the grace that is given us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And we mentioned that prophecy isn't telling the future necessarily. In the New Testament especially, prophecy is more about proclaiming truth. So prophecy is one. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. And that word wait, it's like waiter. It's like serving, attending to. So it's ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. That's our list. That Paul has, and these are actually mentioned many other places in Scripture, but this is just a good, there they are, all seven of them. Paul lays them out.
I think on that spiritual gift test, the ruling was called shepherding.
It was, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Ruling and shepherding were together. Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the homework.
And they called them team gifts.
They did, because they're part of a team. That's why I like when I purposely used that little circle of all the people holding hands when I made that image, because we are a team. We're almost like a puzzle. I thought of us like a. I was going to use a puzzle analogy. If you imagine we're all puzzle pieces, you know, when you fit a puzzle together, you know, this might be missing this section. Well, someone else will fill it, and then this has got this, but someone else can help that. So we're all helping fill each other as a puzzle does.
Making it complete.
So I showed you my results, but I redacted them last week just for the fun of it. So there's mine. That was my results.
Administration.
Yeah, I'm high in administration. You know, I can manage a project. Shannon's probably high in this. She's a good project manager.
Teaching.
I have no mercy, hardly. and prophecy. I'm kind of an introvert.
I figured you're higher in evangelism.
No, because I'm kind of an introvert, really. Okay, I'll give you another example. When I was first saved, I was at the temple. The thing I'm most scared of was talking to people. So I purposely joined our street team, which is like our IGO team. And they load us up with tracks, and we did all the concerts, and we did the plaza, and we did all this stuff. And I thought that would help bring me out of my shell. It didn't really, but it was fun. I learned a lot. But I tried to exercise that gift. I just didn't really have it. And I still don't. I'm really not good with that. But the other things I am good at. I'm good at serving, you know. And as I was... We're going to go through all of these here in a second. It's fun to think about other people, like in this room. I've worked with most of you guys in some capacity or other. And you can kind of see other people's gifts. Like, I knew Steve's would be shepherding. I mean, he is just an awesome shepherd, pastor. He is. So that was a no-brainer. You know, Pam's a giver. She's definitely a giver. Sherry's mercy and gifts. And you know, I know Sherry's, of course, but... By thinking of other people's, it just helps. And I don't want to talk too much about that, so let's get going. Does anyone want to share their results?
One thing I did want to say, not necessarily about my gifts, but that survey talked about, with this gift, how the devil can attack you through your gift.
Yes.
So,
and we're going to talk about that too.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Pride,
yeah, is in all of them.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyone else? And you know what, Sherry?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, you said that you don't witness a lot, but I mean, he gives out tracts wherever we go.
Yeah, I give them out everywhere, all over the country.
We go through them. They're like,
Jim likes to open up
that's
the toilet
roll. You know, that's neat. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I like to. Because hopefully someday, whenever we receive our crowns, there's going to be this army of people that got saved in the Quick Trip bathroom by reading the track I left in there. So, but anyway, I do like leaving tracks. Because tracks made a big impact on me. When I was a heathen, smoking pot and all that, I went to all the concerts in Kansas City. I mean, I've seen everybody. And those religious people would always give me tracts. I hated that. But I would always put it in my pocket and read it later that night. And so I do the same now that I'm a believer.
That's good, because a lot of people don't really want to be approached, like you said. And so that they'll pick up somewhere and not, you know.
Yeah, but it's not threatening.
Not threatening.
So give them some reading material while they're there.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to go launch into some new stuff today. What I did on the back of your handout, of this week's handout, I don't know if everyone has this week. Did I do this week?
Yeah.
We don't have this week.
Definition.
Prophecy.
Wait.
You should have that.
Do you not have the other paper? Prophecy. Okay.
All right. It's on the back of the handout.
Well,
I may have run out.
There's some right here.
Here, Steve, we can.
We have more people here than I was expecting. That's
the other one.
This is last week's. Sorry.
Chuck, you didn't pass it down to these girls.
Thank you.
Well, I think I gave Chuck last week. So,
yeah.
Everyone has this week that has this prophecy on the back.
Yep.
All right. What I did is I made a fact sheet about every gift.
This was me.
So if you didn't do the homework, didn't have time, whatever, as we're going through these, you're going to see the characteristics of people with that motivational gift, and you're going to say, yeah, that's me. I have that. Or I don't have that. So, looking at the verse again. Prophecy. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. I'm not exactly sure how that means, proportion of faith. I kind of meditated on it, but I don't know. But anyway, prophecy. Let's talk about prophecy. So I heavily use and rely on Webster's 1828 dictionary. I use it all the time. I got the app on my phone. When the King James gang translated our Bibles in 1611, the language in 1828 is pretty similar to what they did. So if you look up words in this dictionary, you're pretty close to what the King James guys were also thinking. So I like to get a little insight there. So prophecy is preaching. Public interpretation of Scripture. Public, you know, it's getting out, street corner witnessing, Pastor Brian preaching from the pulpit. It's exhorting and instructing us in God's Word. Alright, so let's look at our fact sheet now on the back of your handout. The motivational gift of prophecy. I will say, I got a lot of this information. I got it from a lot of sources. For one, it's my own experience. You know, I've been saved for 30 years now, and I've known about the gifts for a long time, and I've studied them. Swindoll has a good series on it. I love Chuck. He's one of my favorites. David Jeremiah's got some good stuff. Charles Stanley has some good stuff. You know, and I've read their material, and I've kind of taken an amalgam of their stuff with my stuff, with Bible stuff, and created this. That's how I created these. So it's just, you know, that's where it's from. So the definition of the gift of prophecy, it's the special ability to boldly speak or proclaim God's truth to others. It's for the instruction and encouragement of the church and God's people. Examples in Scripture. I tried to go think in my head, like, who in the Bible had that gift?
Peter.
Obviously, Peter. And I also used character study of Peter to put this together, because Peter obviously had the gift of prophecy. He was always the first to speak out, boldly proclaiming what should and shouldn't be done.
He rebuked Christ himself.
Fearless, you know. He's the one that jumped out of the boat. A lot of good things about Peter. Elijah was another. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. He had the spirit of prophecy would come upon him. You know, he's the guy that took on Baal, the prophets of Baal. Deborah. was a prophetess that helped lead Israel. Because on each one of these, I wanted to include the women, because these aren't just for the men. These are women too. Women have these gifts. And she had the gift of prophecy. So some facts about it. Believers with this gift are motivated to proclaim the truth, especially when they see it wrong. If you're that person that you see something going on and you just can't bear with it, you got to say something, you might have the gift of prophecy. Now, it is interesting that Paul mentions it several times that it's regarded as desire. We should all desire it. We do all have it. We should have it. Some are motivated more to do something about it. It's mentioned more than any other gift given to men and women. It's different than a teacher. You know, I mentioned this last week. A teacher is one to many, and they're speaking about God, whereas like a prophet, I keep thinking of Kevin, because the whole time I'm putting this together, I'm thinking of Kevin, because Kevin embodies this gift. Would you agree? Yeah, you do. You're good. You're good at it too. They're speaking for God and to God.
Actually, speaking too quickly.
Yeah, it's not limited to preachers. All of us should have it. In the Old Testament, they prophesied to nations. New Testament is to believers. So here's the characteristic. They're bold and direct. They must right the wrongs they see. They got to say something. They're quick to speak. And they'll confront evil. Peter would confront evil. And I think Kevin would confront evil without regard for personal harm or consequences. If it's wrong, he's going to say it's wrong. Am I right? Yes. They'll reveal the characters and motives of deceivers. You know, they're not going, if you're trying to, you know, pass one over on a person of prophecy, they're going to see through it. They're committed to truth and righteousness, a strong dependence on Scripture. All these prophets were. They went by God's word. And I know Kevin does. They address the issues. They're concerned with truth, not with your feelings. You know, these aren't the merciful crowd. These guys are, they'll tell you what you need to do. Very discerning spirit, and they're open to correction. You know, Peter was often corrected by the Lord. Very humble. It's a good gift to have.
If I was to say you're a character in the Bible, it'd probably be Amos.
I do like Amos. Yeah. But like Pam mentioned, these are... Can you guys see those okay over there?
Yeah.
These are some... I put... I had different names for this column. At first, I was going to do it like when they're in the flesh or... But like Pam said, whenever... these are ways Satan can attack this gift. And things to be aware of. Someone with prophecy can come across as too blunt. Too bold. I mean, Kevin's boldness sometimes is intimidating.
Or offensive, maybe.
Or maybe offensive, yeah. So that's the way Kevin is, the way he is. picking on Kevin. He has this gift of prophecy, and he's very good at it. May seem impatient. He doesn't have tolerance for people that don't do what's right, you know, whenever he's told them what to do. And that's really Peter and some of the other guys more than Kevin. I'm just picking on Kevin. And they're prone to speak or act too quickly, just like Peter always was.
Thank you.
So, that's the gift of prophecy. Anyone else in here have that? I don't. So, all right, next, we're going to talk about ministry. And this is where it's at in this passage here. Ministry, if you have this gift, let us wait on our ministering. Wait, again, means serving. Waiting. A waiter waits on people. They attend to. So you can also put attend to in there. So, there's the Webster, 1828. Office duty or functions of a subordinate agent of any kind. So we are all to be servants, of course, as believers. Service of a minister of the gospel. That's cool, because this is actually in the dictionary. I mean, You guys have probably used the Webster Dictionary, the 1828 version. Most of the words have a Bible verse to help describe the word.
Yeah.
I mean, Noah Webster was a very godly man. Like, you know, we learned about our forefathers in that American Heritage series. So, let's look at the... Oh, I didn't pass it out. Darn, sorry. Sorry, guys. Here's the next set. I didn't want to give them all out too soon. Here, Chuck, just maybe pass it out.
Yep.
I'll wait a few seconds for everybody to get it. My bad on that one.
No.
All right, so I think a lot of us have this gift. This is one of my top three that I had, that survey showed I had. I know Dave and Shannon have it. Belinda and Larry, definitely. They're not here now, but a lot of us have this. This is something I think a lot of us have. That, you know, again, by motivational gift, whenever you see, this is a gift that when you see something, this helps you motivate to do something. If you have the gift of prophecy, just an example, and somebody spills Coke or something in this sanctuary, you're not necessarily motivated to go get a broom and a mop and clean that up. Because you got the gift.
Copies?
Probably not.
Share one.
I'm sorry, I just didn't print a whole bunch.
You never know.
You never know who's going to be here. If you guys didn't like it last week, I'd be here by myself. Does that, okay, so the person with the motivational gift of prophecy, if he sees a Coke spilled, he's not motivated to clean it up like someone with the gift of serving is. But if he sees someone picking on or saying something to someone else, the prophecy guy is motivated to do something. The serving guy is not. That's where this motivational thing's coming in. So, ministry. This is the strong desire to help and support of the church and those in need. When you see a problem, you've got to fix it. You got to do something. I think Dave's strong in this. Man, when Dave sees something not right or needing fixed or whatever, he'll sign up for that. It's given to believers to help in the work of the church in a supporting role. This is really where work gets done. This gift. People with this gift, they keep the wheels on the bus at HBF.
Kind of like Jeff when we did the concrete for the bridge.
Yes.
He wanted to be there, and I was glad he was there.
Yeah, exactly. You seen a need. You knew you could help. You were motivated to do it. That's the gift of serving in action. Exactly. We're all called to be servants. Some have the special gift. Motivated to jump in. I always like going, sometimes I'll check the Greek and it just means servant. Serving others in humility. You guys can read the rest. It is actually where we get our word deacon and deaconesses. These are people that really want to serve others. And I put a little note here of some things in scripture. I mean, sometimes we forget Jesus had a little army of ladies to help attend to his like food and clothes and just his practical needs. You know, he didn't have time to wash his stuff. Yes.
Do we have deaconesses? Do we have?
We don't here.
Okay.
Are you volunteering?
No.
That's another thing that'll happen. When you raise your hand, you ain't gonna get it. Yeah, no, we don't have them here. They were in the, there were some in the Bible.
Huh. In the Bible.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Jesus had some ladies to help him out. John Mark helped Paul, Barnabas. There's just so many examples, and I just gave you a few where people served others. Timothy is just a good example of a servant. He is always serving Paul. Paul would say, go to there, go to Crete, go wherever, go to Philippi. And Timothy said, yeah, I'm there. Paul needed his coat, whatever. Timothy did it, brought it. Timothy is a good servant. James. You know, James is all about being not just hearers of the word, but doers. You know, do something. Faith without works is dead and all that. Okay, that's... I'll get to that in a second. All right, here's some characteristics. Does anyone think they're a server that you didn't already know? Yes, yeah, this gift, service. Yeah, which Dave ain't. I should have just put your face on here.
And mercy.
And mercy, yeah. Yeah, he is merciful. All right, so these people, we'll talk about Dave now. He's very sensitive to the practical needs of others. And you are. If you see someone needing something, you'll help get it taken care of. He's very compassionate. He's a big teddy bear. He enjoys working with his hands. Servers enjoy working with their hands. Strong desire to help others and to bring joy into other people's lives. That's a good one. So, you know, that's definitely Dave. And a lot of us in here, Belinda, Larry, I mean, a lot of you guys I serve with. I think this is interesting. I got that, I think, from Sundal. A good memory of other people's likes and dislikes, birthdays, favorite colors. You know, you want to help them out. You want to remember them. Let them know they're special. They're generous when it comes time to give. Trustworthy and dependable. I mean, you can count on Dave. He can do it. Anybody, and Belinda. Belinda's awesome to work with. I wish she was here, but she's really fun to work with because she's good. She's very dependable, very trustworthy. Living examples of Colossians 3:23, which we don't really have time to go there, but those are some of the characteristics of a server, someone that's ministry-minded and service. Some things to be aware of. Sometimes they may overlook their own needs. They get so busy helping others that they kind of forget their own family or spouse or whatever. So that's something we have to be aware of if you're a server, a ministry person. I know this one's true. You may get discouraged when others don't reciprocate or appreciate what you've done. Mm. You know, you cleaned up that Coke over there, but no one noticed, no one cared. You may get discouraged on things like that. So you got to be aware of that. You can get overstretched or overwhelmed trying to respond to too many needs, helping too many people. And that's a very real caution with this gift.
I am a helper, and so that is one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just like to help, so sometimes, you know, I need to be a balance, you know, of course.
Yeah, yeah, you are, Sherry. You do. Yeah. I actually got these from you. No. I'm just teasing. I gotta watch this though. Alright, so the next one. Teaching. This one was easy for me to put together. He that teaches on teaching. There's not a whole lot said in that particular thing, but here's what Webster says about it. To instruct or inform, to communicate to another the knowledge of that which they were before ignorant. It's kind of funny. Yeah, I like teaching people new things. I love it. I think Pastor Steve does too. A lot of us do. It's fun to teach others and see their light bulbs go on, and especially with something that they can use to grow in their walk with the Lord. All right, so here's some profile sheet for this one. It's a strong desire. Did I pass this out? Gosh darn it. Sorry.
It's on the back side.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and...
No.
What?
No,
it's on the back side.
No, this is teaching.
Yeah, that's what I'm on, teaching.
Okay.
I got it. Can you pass those out, Kevin? I'm going to... That's the next one I'm going to queue up. All right, so let's talk about teaching. People with the motivational gift of teaching have a strong desire to research and impart God's truth to others so that they may grow in their faith. What I think is interesting here, and I'm just speaking for myself, because this is my strongest gift that survey showed I have. I love teaching here at HBF. You know, I'm teaching the kids. Me and Sherry are over there next hour. I love it. But at work, not so much. You know, I'm a Linux guy, and I'm in IT, and every once in a while I'm called on to teach something, but that doesn't get me excited and motivated. I'm not excited to go to work to teach anybody anything about IT. But I am about HBF and the things of the Lord. So, purpose. It's given to help others grow in their faith, knowledge, and relationship with God. That is totally what a teacher wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, like this 3-week series, I really want you guys to, I my wish and prayer would be we all take these passages and apply them to our life and like use them, learn our gifts and things like that. Luke is the consummate teacher. I didn't put the verse on. If you look at Luke 1, and we don't have to now because we don't have time. Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And in the very first verses of those two books, Luke is very detailed that I'm going to tell you what happened. I was there. These are the events. I'm going to give them to you in order. And throughout the whole book of Luke, that is one of the most documented set of stories. He tells you, you know, who was on the throne, what was going on, where this happened, names of people. He is a teacher. He doesn't want to just tell you stuff. He's going to teach you what happened. And the same with the book of Acts. All those, you know, Agrippa and all the Claudius and all those guys that Luke documents, they're factual people that we can go back and get timelines and know when this happened. Luke's a very cool teacher. Had that mindset. Well, of course, Moses was a teacher. Solomon wrote Proverbs to teach his kids. I mean, the book of Proverbs was written to his children. Instructions for life. Ezra taught him about how to bring back the tabernacle, the temple. The apostles, of course, were teachers. Lots of teachers in the Bible. Believers with the gift of teaching, they're motivated to do the research and communicate truth. They enjoy the research. I mean, I love it. Man, you put me in a library by myself, I'm good to go. They want to know as much about a subject as possible, which that's good and bad. You can get bogged down with details, but have a strong desire to see others grow. Jesus, of course, is the ultimate example. It's very important that a teacher teach as much by their walk as by their words. I mean, it would be terrible if I'm standing here on a Sunday morning and then you guys see me at whatever, Applebee's, loading up on at the bar or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? You got to walk the talk. Teachers should have self-control, organization, and order in the way they present truth. And I've always had that. I won't say too much there.
You present it in an organized way, and you got a visual here. You've got verses. You got
I don't know what you call it. I pain myself to make this stuff clear. Sometimes I summarize too much, but I just want it to be clear and put handles on it so we can all grab it. Women are to be teachers. You know, and Titus talks about the ladies teaching the young ladies. We teach our kids. We teach our friends. We're all to be teachers. This isn't just a guy thing. All right, so here's some of our characteristics for teachers. Is anyone else a teacher in here? Pat is, I know. I know Steve is. Jaime?
I was.
You feel the burn? The desire? Jaime did a good job with our American Heritage Peaches series.
Pam teaches sometimes.
Pam, yeah.
I thought that would be one of my, it wasn't.
Oh, really?
So I guess I need to. Like,
well, you're a good exhorter, I know that.
Yeah. I need to work on this.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to put it. If you're not a teacher, then maybe you. You could be, and you are. Just don't know it yet. All right, so teachers are concerned with the accuracy of themselves and others. This drives me bonkers, man. I want to, things need to be accurate and clear. When people tell me something, they pay attention to words, grammar, language. They're motivated to deliver the best lesson possible. And I know any teacher would be. I want to stand up here before you guys and just do the best I can at communicating God's truth. Love the research. Teachers do. Imparting truth. They're orderly, methodic, systematic, and thorough. You know, I have a method the way I do lessons, whether it's Mighty Warriors or here or wherever. Teachers do. You're a teacher. Yes, we have a teacher. She's a paid teacher. Yes. Well, do these? Yeah, I forgot about that. Do these resonate with you? I mean, do you feel these are characteristics you have? I'm sure they are. Concerned with facts, not feelings, and then reverence for the Word of God, just like a prophet, the prophecy guy. Me and Kevin were down there. All right, here's some things teachers have to be careful for. Staying in tune with the Holy Spirit and the needs of the audience. Big time. You got to teach. If you're going to teach God's truth, you got to kind of know what, you know, the audience. If I was teaching this to the Mighty Warriors or to Life Issues or something, it'd be totally different. So, not get bogged down with details. I have a problem with this. Sometimes I get too detailed. Being too long-winded, answering questions. I know Sherry gets tired of this when she asks me something. You know, just like Luke, I want to take her all the way back to the beginning.
Long story short.
I hear that all the time. Long story short, just give me the... teachers, man, they get long-winded. Because I want to impart the whole thing. Actually, Mark Lockwood, years ago when I first started teaching for Tom Ford, you know, I was frustrated about some things, and Mark Lockwood gave me some of the best advice that I still use today as a teacher, and you could probably use this too. You're not trying to teach them everything you know, just everything that they should know. So, and that's where I would get wrapped around the axle. I try to impart all this wisdom about dispensations and covenants and whatever. They don't really need to know all that yet. So, anyway, that was good advice he gave me. They're impatient with fluff and no substance in others. That's why I don't really do... personally live by the truth they teach. So that's a teacher. So me and... there's just a few teachers in here. There. Okay. No one else teacher? Let's move on.
I enjoyed doing it when I did it for Life Issues.
Yeah, I can see that. You can get that. All right, here's the next one we're going to talk about. This is the next handout. Exhorteth on exhortation. All right, what's exhortation? Here's what Noah Webster says it is. It's to advise or to warn, to incite by words or advice, to urge by arguments to a good deed or any laudable conduct. There's a lot of words there, but an exhorter, similar to a prophet, gift of prophecy, they want to set down one-on-one. Counselors are usually exhorters. I think Pam is a good exhorter. She can sit down with someone and discern their needs and to be able to give very good biblical advice on how to help change their conduct to get them back on track. Yeah. So let's look at what exhorters do. They see the spiritual potential in others and they are compelled to encourage them to meet it. You know, and is there any other exhorters in here that you know you are offhand? Yeah, Pat would be. I agree with that. You would see the potential in someone and you want to help them get there through advice and wise biblical counsel. The purpose is to encourage other believers by word or deed to continue forward following Christ. Barnabas, obviously.
Yeah.
His actual name is Jose, but they changed his name to Barnabas because that means son of the exhorter. He's son of consolation. Paul was, James was, Titus was, lots of exhorters in our Bible. Oh yeah, Tracy's getting dunked.
We have to, yeah.
Yes, good luck, Tracy. That's really cool, man. Yeah, I love watching baptism.
I paid him $10 to hold gender a little longer.
Yeah. Yeah, who's doing it? Do you know?
Gerald.
Okay, cool. Very good. All right, that's cool. Something to look forward to in a few minutes. All right, exhorters. All right, advisor Warren. The exhorters are the cheerleaders in the church. They are the ones, you know, you can do it, you know, that kind of thing. The Rob Snyder guy. You know, they're the one, we all need these cheerleaders. They're best at one-on-one situations. That's why they're usually counselors. They care deeply about helping others. They desire to see the growth. they are good at applying scripture to that person's issues to help get them back on the path. Like I said, that's an exhorter. They're not just judging someone and telling them what they're doing wrong, like the prophet might do. You know, I'm going to pick on Kevin again, but Kevin may see someone doing something wrong, and he's saying, "Hey, and you're not following God's word. You need to stop." Whereas Pam, the exhorter, put her arm around the person and say, "Hey, you know, let's figure out a plan. We can get you back on track. We need both."
Yeah.
Luckily, we're not all one or the other.
Yeah.
We do need both.
Yeah.
We all need at least one exhorter in our lives. And I think this is like potato chips or cats or whatever. You can't have too many. I mean, can you be too encouraged?
We don't need any
No.
What potato chips? Yeah, we've got a herd.
Yes, you
do. But, you know, we all need encouragement. I mean, this is a really good gift. I'm glad God gave to people. I need encouragement a lot. I know Pastor Steve does. We all do. We all need encouragers. We all need cheerleaders in our life to help us, you know, push the ball across the line kind of thing. So I love exhorters. I wish we had more of them. Here's some of their characteristics.
Well, you know, Jim, not to interrupt.
Yes, no, much. Definitely.
A friend of mine, he says success is the best encouragement. And I like that statement because I mean, I look at even Tracy getting baptized today. That encourages me.
It, me too.
It's like,
yeah,
this woman's coming out of the world and following the Lord, and that encourages me just to. I feel like that's a success. Like, praise the Lord.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. Yeah, anytime people are doing well, and it hurts our heart when they aren't.
That's
right. You know, we grieve over the incarcerated guys.
I mean, and that pushes me forward, like you're saying.
Yeah, it motivates you to keep on. All right, so here's some of the characteristics of exhorters. I don't think we have any in here anymore. I think I was really low on it. That was one of my lowest. Anyway, discretion. They can see the root cause of the problem in others. Discretion. They're not going to go gossiping everything that they're told by this person that's struggling. They're skilled. I got that from Swindoll. They're skilled at creating a plan for someone to get them back on track. They see the problem, and I know Pam is good at this.
Mm-hmm.
She would see the problem in someone's life. Okay, you need to do this. And if you can't do that, then let's do this. And they're very skilled at coming up with a plan to get them back on. They're clear in their instructions. Pam's very clear. Now that she's not here, I can pick on her. She understands Scripture. Pam knows the Word very well. Not judgmental. Exhorters aren't. They're honest, enthusiastic. They're the peacemakers. They really don't want conflict among the other believers. Let's just all get along. We just need to do this. We can get back on track. Some things they need to be aware of. Cautions for the exhorters. They may seem aggressive or meddling at times. You know, if Pam comes up to you and says, "Hey, how you doing? How's your walk with the Lord?" You know, we might think, "Well, you're kind of meddling here. That's none of your business." Well, she's an exhorter. She cares for you. She wants to see you grow. So that's why they would ask that question. They may they get too involved or invested in others. You know, that's easy to do when we're helping other people. We get too close. Or they may get discouraged when others don't heed their counsel. You know, I'm sure Pam gets discouraged. All of us do whenever people don't heed our counsel if we think we're giving the right thing. So that's exhorters. This is actually a good place to stop. I've got two more. We'll knock them out next week. And then I have some other things planned, a little exercise and some things like that. But any questions? Those are the motivational gifts. You know, again, these are gifts God has given you to help you serve others, to help all of us grow in Christ. So it's really important that you figure out what your gift is. Did any bells go off today when we're going through these? Like, hey, that sounds like me.
They all sound like me.
Yeah.
So you said that your gift can be also a negative thing. You know, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit, not just react all the, you know, like trust the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. I like the, yeah, all this, anything. We need to be led by the Spirit to use our gifts.
Jim, I was talking with my son yesterday. Most of you know Luke. And he was at our pastor's retreat, even though he's not a pastor. Brian calls him like a pastor in training.
Yeah, there you go.
And he doesn't necessarily feel led to become a pastor, but he just said, "Dad, I feel like I'm good at being faithful and showing up." And it was this when you were talking about servant or service or ministry, you know, let us wait on our ministry. I felt like he would probably score high marks in that gift, just because if you are involved in ministry, you do need to be faithful. You do need to show up, you know, kind of do what, be a person of your word. And anyway, so it was just neat for me to kind of see his gifts as I was talking with him yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, it is cool to think about. When I was putting all this together, I was thinking about all you guys. Like, okay, now what would Pam do here? It is fun. If we know each other's gifts, we can help serve each other. So anyway, that's it. We'll get out a little early today. Thanks for coming. We'll wrap up next week. Let me close in prayer. All right, Lord, I thank you again for the chance to meet in your house today, Lord. Just thank you for all you do for us, and just pray you'd dismiss us with your blessing, Lord, and just give us a good time in church. And just thank you again for Tracy following you in baptism, and just we want to commit all this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, amen.
Yeah, they paid 720 tonight, I think. We had to look it up on the way here. We were Thanks for cleaning up that rut. I had to go down there. It looks good. My other buddy, he hadn't got that other yet. I don't know. He's like 68 or 9. I'm not sure if he can be able to do it or not.
Sure. Yeah, very good.
Like, I have been having some sciatic nerve problems the last couple of days. And I've been like slightly concerned. Like,
so, got last week's hand out, Jim?
So,
missed a few 9 o'clock.
It's probably a year ago.
It's hard.
It's hard. So I've got to learn to start just using clippers like everybody else.
Yeah, my house too.
Yeah, your house, I think it was good. The furnace went okay?
I think so, yeah. I don't know what was wrong with it.
That other guy put in a gas valve. That was, I guess, the main thing. And then when Lynn came out, the other guy thought it needed an igniter, but he said there was like a grounding wire that wasn't attached. There was a wire that was wrong on it. So he put a wire right on it. But he said that's a 2005 model. So next year he'll be 20 years old. He said, you know, companies need to put $20 a week away for that. Or, you know, put a little money away. Within the next 5 years, you're going to need a new system. And I asked him how much it'd be. He thought it was going to be close to $7,000 for new one. That surprised me. So, I don't know how you're going to come up with $7,000.
Pre-work.
Yeah. But, yeah, you do probably need to try to start saving a little bit somehow. Sit here and talk to Tom a little bit, Kevin.
See you later.
All right, let's see.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing us, Tom.
They need to see practice that.
What chapter are you guys up to now? Oh, really?
It's been better this year.
Wow. So you already done three? Wow.
She's a lot more helpful.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I asked you for this, go ahead and sit down and talk to me for a minute.